Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues here on AFR. We appreciate you listening each and every day to American Family Radio. I'm Tim, and we're going to be here for the next hour and 24 minutes here with the news of the day. And joining me to discuss it and analyze it is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, what are we doing on the internet today to make things easier for people to engage with us?
Yes. Well, of course, we're live streaming. So if you want to
Of course. Yes.
If you want to watch the radio show, you can do that on Facebook and YouTube. And of course, you can catch our podcast. So if you aren't able to complete the show today, you can visit afr.net and listen to the podcast, or you can download it on your smartphone.
So if you want to watch the show today, right now, live video streaming, just go to YouTube or Facebook and type in Today's Issues, and Walker will be posting the stories that we're talking about, so you can have the information yourself if you'd like to have that to read or to pass along. So that is one of Walker's many responsibilities during this show. What are the other ones?
Provide commentary.
All right, Fred Jackson, who also provides commentary. Good morning,
guarded,
Fred.
Guarded commentary. Sometimes.
Guarded commentary. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Fred, got to ask you a question.
Okay.
And then we'll get into your stories, the lead story.
Okay.
I was reading OneNewsNow.com,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
OneNewsNow.com, but your lead story, that's you because you're the editor. You're the top dog at OneNewsNow, Fred. There was this meeting at Wheaton College among some Christian leaders.
Yes.
That I heard about on AFR over the weekend. By Christian leaders, I mean people like Dr. Tim Keller.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Stetzer. He's with Wheaton College, isn't he?
That's
used
right.
to be with Lifeway.
That is correct. That is correct.
Some other fellows who are, some of them are acquaintances or friends of ours over the years, not all of them, but anyway, who was there and what was the meeting about?
It was a by invitation only meeting. In other words, you had to get an invite to get in the room.
Well, I didn't get one.
No.
And my feelings are hurt.
Yes. And I guess what raised the suspicion, Tim, is that among those not invited were Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor First Baptist Dallas, and Franklin Graham. And the organizers of this meeting, some of the names you mentioned, said it wasn't going to be about Donald Trump. But then suspicions were raised when these two individuals in particular were not invited. Why not? I mean, Dr. Robert Jeffress is a leading evangelical in this country, and it's a meeting about
the future of evangelicalism. You'd think
Franklin Graham qualifies too.
I think so.
I would think so.
But there was a comment by one of the organizers that basically said, we were only inviting those people that had a higher profile and were recognized globally as leaders in the evangelical community.
Thought leaders.
Well, I kind of scratched my head, and some others did too. I mean, Franklin Graham heads up Samaritan's Purse, which is a global ministry doing absolutely incredible work for the evangelical church around the world.
Right.
But he didn't get invited. So that raises suspicions that this was going to be a President Trump bashing group. Added to that,
was Dr. Russell Moore in this?
I'm not sure if he was there. His name has not been mentioned as one of the participants.
Okay, I guess I'm looking for who's responsible for the invitation. Do we even know? Who's getting together the invitation?
There's a group of organizers, and one of the gentlemen was quoted in the.
Yes, he was with the Lausanne. Group.
Right, and that's from
Billy Graham many years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Russell Moore, a representative from the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, was there, but I don't believe Russell Moore was at this meeting. Anyway, what happened was that we had a report from David Brody. He's with the Christian Broadcasting Network, who said after the first day, several people left that meeting there at Wheaton because they were disgusted because Donald Trump was being discussed at that meeting. Now, we have a story up in One News Now this morning from someone who was at the meeting, and they are denying it was about Donald Trump. But having read a little bit about one of the speeches or one of the speakers in there, it seemed to be about the Trump, the critics of Trump. Those issues seem to keep coming up at this meeting. So that's what we know. It was a closed-door meeting. We haven't got any audio yet from anything that went on inside.
So we're speculating. We're based on maybe somebody who was in the room saying what happened.
Yes.
And we can move on to the other stories of the day here. But you did have people like Dr. Tim Keller, who was there. I guess he was one of the, I don't know if he was considered one of the leaders there. He's a very well-known, very well-respected Presbyterian minister from New York, and I know I have friends who read his books, and I
generally like his teaching.
Yeah, but he's said and done some things, as Dr. Keller, that the last couple of years that I've wondered, this sounds like socialism that you're promoting, but he may say I was misrepresented or I don't. Anyway, the point was sound on doctrine, seemingly, but kind of off on his political views. That's the way I've judged, fairly or unfairly, Dr. Keller over the last couple of years. Now, but there was some other people there, but Dr. Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist Convention, he represents the view as I think Dr. Keller does, and others. People would know. They're basically against President Trump, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're basically against President Trump because they view him as a poor example of Christianity as understood by the media and the general public, and because Christians voted for him en masse and got him elected. They weren't the only group, but it was huge. They put him over the top. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Christians like listen to American Family Radio. Mm-hmm. People who did that, y'all follow me here. I know I'm getting long-winded. People like us, for example, who did that, we are, to the people who are never Trumpers, I don't know whether Dr. Keller or I know Russell Moore was, we're an embarrassment to them because we're basically uneducated yahoos who can't biblically discern things the right way. And so we vote for a man who has poor characteristics that are not reflective of the Holy Spirit living in a person. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, that's fairly characterizing. Now, I don't know about Tim Keller, but I know like Russell Moore and some of these others. That is their belief. They believe that Christians should not have voted for Donald Trump, and also that the reason we did is because we're compromised. We have confused America with the kingdom of God. We want a seat at the table. We love power, and we have forgotten the gospel in the pursuit of America, make America great again.
Yeah, that's what you just wrapped up. I took 3 minutes to say what you said in 30 seconds here. That is exactly their view.
That's how they view us. So when they're looking for thought leaders in the evangelical movement, they don't invite Richard Land. They don't invite Jerry Falwell Jr., head of the largest Christian college in America. They don't invite Franklin Graham. They don't invite Robert Jeffress. Why? Not really because they're not thought leaders. They are. It's because they're not the kind of thought leader we want. Because people who agree with voting for Donald Trump as evangelicals support these kinds of people.
And I think, too, I think their opposition based on Trump's morality and alleged morality, when I say alleged, the Stormy Daniels stuff.
In the past.
I think that's a mask for what they're really opposed to. They don't like President Trump's nationalistic standards.
Right.
They don't like that. They don't like President Trump wants to build a wall on our southern border.
Right.
They are opposed
to that.
That's
anti-Christian in their view.
Yes. In their view. And they don't like that he is taking a stronger stance against refugees coming into this country.
Exactly.
The refugee lottery,
right?
Which is absolutely insane.
And Dr. Russell Moore from the Southern Baptist has talked about that and written about it.
There's no question.
He's an open borders for the most part guy, isn't he?
And for all practical purposes.
Yes. There is a group that Russell Moore is part of, Tim Keller, John Piper. They call themselves the Gospel Coalition.
Okay.
And one of the editors who does a lot of writing for the Gospel Coalition, he did an interview, I think, with ABC News not too long ago. I can't remember the gentleman's name. But the group as a whole are very anti-President Trump, that Gospel Coalition.
Yes.
So you may have heard that name before. There is a very vocal element within the evangelical community right now that is out there to – they're like Democrats. They're like the mainstream media. Everything that Donald Trump does is bad. Mm-hmm. We don't want anything to do. And furthermore, you evangelicals who support Donald Trump, you are a problem for evangelicalism.
Right.
You're embarrassing us.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you may be our cousins, but you're embarrassing us.
Yeah. And Beth Moore falls in that
yes.
group.
Does she ever?
Walker? Yeah. And the one thing is, it's not only that they hold the view that we are wrong in our judgment of who we support politically, but when the Christian baker is being sued and having their home taken away because they won't bake a cake for a homosexual wedding, they're silent on that issue. They're nowhere to be found on other important issues that you would think we could find common ground. But this event was political. And unless,
you're talking about the one at Wheaton College?
And here's proof. I wrote an article on this. It's not yet published, but here's an excerpt from it. A reporter by the name of Caitlin Beatty, B-E-A-T-Y, she attended the meeting. She's a lefty, secular reporter that shows who reporters they wanted in. Bishop Claude Alexander said at the meeting when he was speaking, quote, "How could white Christians mourn the deaths of the Charleston Nine but politically support a presidential candidate who appeals to the ideology held by the Charleston murderer," end quote.
Wow.
Talking about how can we support racist President Trump because he has the same viewpoints as the murderer, Dylann Roof, in Charleston, South Carolina.
So who said that?
Bishop Claude Alexander. This is according to this report.
Who is he?
Well, didn't he speak?
Yeah.
At this meeting? Yeah. Yes.
By the way, the meeting we're talking about, folks, if you're just now joining us, we didn't intend to spend this long on it, but I think it's important. It was a meeting of evangelical leaders at Wheaton College. Was it over the weekend or was it last week?
It was Monday and Tuesday last week.
Okay, Monday and Tuesday of last week, convened by people like Dr. Tim Keller and the gentleman you just mentioned, Walker, mm-hmm. and some others.
Ed Stetzer,
mm-hmm. Who's been on our... He's been a guest on this program mm-hmm. before, but it was a secret meeting. Well, I guess it wasn't so secret because we know about it.
By invitation only.
It was by invitation only, and we haven't talked to anybody who was inside the meeting. We only know.
There's a story. The story that we have up this morning.
Okay.
We did talk with Dr. Daryl. If you click on that again.
Yeah.
Daryl Bach?
Yes.
From Dallas Theological Seminary?
Yes.
He was there?
Yes. Our reporter, Steve Jordahl, talked to him, and we have a story that we've been
airing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and this is interesting because when the free-for-all started against Trump at this Wheaton College meeting, there was some who left.
Yes.
So Daryl Bach has responded to that criticism of the Wheaton College meeting, and he says, quote, "That's a misrepresentation of the meeting. There were a few who left. They left because there was a lot of critique of President Trump against these standards," talking about Trump's views, "related to human dignity and the consistency of the Christian walk across the whole of life. So he is, in a backhanded way, he's confirming what was being discussed and what the beliefs are of those who were invited to this meeting.
Right. And as we said, such leaders as Franklin Graham and Dr. Robert Jeffress were not invited to the meeting. What we got going on, folks, basically lay this out right here when we try to wrap it up. It is important because it's within the Christian community, more specifically within the Protestant evangelical community, and there are leaders like these folks who they don't like us, okay?
Right.
Dr. Russell Moore, the Southern Baptist, what's the organization?
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Okay, he is the leader of the Ethics
and Religious Liberty Commission.
Which Dr. Richard Land used to.
Yes.
And this is an organization that is funded to the tune of $3 million a year by Southern Baptist offerings.
That's right.
Right.
So the
cooperative fund.
So they give money, the Southern Baptists do, to support the ERLC, which Dr. Moore heads up. And he is an anti-Trumper, an ever-Trumper. And, you know, some of the criticisms that these people bring about President Trump, I'm not going to argue with you that President Trump is a model of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, but whoever said that? These people unfairly try to say whatever Donald Trump does, that he does in a poor way or says things in a poor way, or what they consider an offensive way. And I'll grant you, sometimes he does go over into that category. What they want to say is, see there, Wildman, you supported Trump. Therefore, you support how he says things.
Right.
And you support him having sex with a porn star 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. How dare you call yourself a Christian? You're an embarrassment to me as I try to live above this.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I'm just saying that's completely a bogus red herring. If you can have a red herring that's not bogus, I'd like to see it. But that is a red herring argument just to hide behind... What Fred talked about, these people are really against President Trump because of his nationalism, of his build a wall, of his wanting to protect America by stopping the flow of illegal immigrants, all these things. Yes. Those are the real reasons.
Yeah.
So you want to say these things about us. I just say, you know what, and then Walker, you can comment on this. I just say to those people, you're completely overthinking this, okay? The people of America had a choice in 2016. Either Hillary Clinton was going to be president or Donald Trump was going to be president.
Right.
We looked at those two people, and overwhelmingly Christians said, I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. She's going to attack us on every front. And that would have been absolutely true. Then they look at Donald Trump and they go, well, this guy says a lot of the right things. And we got a shot with him to do a lot of good things for America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't particularly like the way he talks sometimes or tweets sometimes, but what choice do I have? Yeah. I got Trump or Clinton. One of them's going to be president. I can't stay home. The Supreme Court's at risk for a generation. So if I can't disqualify a man because he's, you know, says a few cuss words.
Right.
So I'm going to...
And was a playboy.
So anyway, I'm just saying... Go ahead, Walker.
And also, Dr. Russell Moore met with President Obama in the Oval Office, I know at least on one occasion, but he refused to meet with President-elect Trump? Our candidate Trump? Donald Trump. So, and we know Obama had his problems when it comes to biblical view on moral issues. But to also... This meeting, this is according to the same reporter... This is very outrageous stuff that was said at this meeting and never slapped down that I know of. According to the same reporter, another attendee, Chicago pastor Charlie Dates, said, quote, American evangelicalism, talking about us,
right,
has not been able to separate itself from the perks of white supremacy, end quote.
That was at this meeting?
Yes. Charlie Dates said that at the meeting.
This is worse than I thought. Huh?
So just to be clear, What that speaker is saying, if you supported Donald Trump,
you're a racist.
You're a racist.
Yeah.
And you support racism.
Well, and here's the hypocrisy of this branch, this wing of the evangelical
community. Beth Moore's
community.
In that group?
Beth Moore is in that group in terms of being opposed to building a wall and being in charge of refugees. She is against all of that. And she believes in that we suffer from white privilege and all that kind of stuff. But here's the hypocrisy of these people is how many of them have made a public statement criticizing evangelicals, including black evangelicals who voted for Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Right.
I haven't heard anything from them bemoaning the fact that they were going to vote for a woman who supports Planned Parenthood, yeah. who not only is the leading abortion mill group in the world, but also sells baby aborted parts from aborted babies.
Exactly.
And where's the criticism of those left-side evangelicals?
These meetings were not held when Barack Obama was president.
Right.
Where were these people? Yeah. Why didn't they hold meetings expressing grave concern over Eric Holder, then the Attorney General of the United States, wanted to go after Catholic hospitals?
Yes.
Where were these people then?
Little Sisters of the Poor.
Where were they then? Where were they when Barack Obama lit up the White House in the rainbow colors?
Right.
After the 2015, where were they when Barack Obama was promoting more and more abortion rights? They didn't hold these kinds of meetings. Mm-hmm. So, folks, they have a lot to answer for because I just
and I'll say this without making any accusations. I want to hear from Beth Moore, Russell Moore. They're not related. Tim Keller and some of these others. I want to hear their views on homosexuality.
Yeah.
I want to hear whether or not they are opposed to same-sex marriage and homosexuality. I want to hear that from them because I believe that these are left-wing evangelicals. I'm not saying you can't be a Christian and be in support of illegal immigration. You can probably make a case for it. Some of them do. Mm-hmm. Okay, but I think these are increasingly left-wing evangelicals. And that's the real problem they have with us.
Yes. We're an embarrassment to them.
They look at us as right-wing evangelicals.
Mm. Right, and they don't like us being the representation in the mainstream media to the world of what an evangelical Christian is. Mm. So they want to sort of push us behind the stage and say, no, look at us. We're really the ones who speak.
Now, again, I'm not accusing those individuals, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm being duplicitous here. I just am suspicious at the language they use. I'd like to hear what they have to say about
And I would add one more thing that I'd like to hear from President Trump's unequivocal support for Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to hear from them where they stand on Israel.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of them, like Matt Chandler, who's a very well-known pastor from Dallas, Dallas area, he's reaches a lot of millennials. And I saw a sermon on him on white privilege and stuff. I'm going.
That was at the MLK meeting.
MLK 50.
Yeah, 50.
Which Russell Moore organized in the Gospel Coalition.
Right.
Yeah, and you know what? I hate to name names and bring up people that many of them that we just named have done tremendous work for the kingdom of God over their careers. I mean, so I'm not diminishing. As I said earlier, I know people who have basically their lives changed by Dr. Tim Keller's writing. So we're not diminishing their whole careers here, but we are saying, listen, if you're going to challenge us on something, we're going to challenge you back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to push back on you too. If you're going to be critical of Christians who voted for Donald Trump to be president. We shall return with more answers for the world in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Did you know George Washington, the father of our country, he loved being at home at Mount Vernon? In fact, he said he'd rather be at home at Mount Vernon than dining with all the princes and royalty of Europe. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Mount Vernon on our spiritual heritage tour in September, and we'd love to have you join us for this very special time. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be with us as we go all over our nation's capital. We'll go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the World War II Memorial, the Lincoln Memorial, all the places you want to see in our nation's capital. We'll see that, but we'll also go to Mount Vernon. Now, for all the information on this September tour, including a side trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, you can check it out at spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information on our September tours. And we'll see you then.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The Outdoors Club at Bates College in Maine is way too white and way too privileged. That's according to a report in the student newspaper. The Outdoor Club sponsors a mandatory freshman field trip into the wilds of Maine. 4 days, 3 nights, all about team building and bonding. But newspaper writer Justin Geddes accused the Outdoor Club of perpetuating white privilege and prehistoric policies regarding gender. He said there's nothing worse than being surrounded by straight people making eyes at each other across canoes, called the field trip cruel and exclusionary and hurtful to marginalized groups. These are the same folks who apparently get triggered by an L.L. Bean catalog. Never thought I'd see the day when roasting marshmallows around a campfire while some guy with a guitar sings American Pie would trigger microaggressions. We've got some mighty big problems, America. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You can watch the show if you'd like to and or listen there. Facebook Live. Today's Issues. Facebook hasn't found out about us yet, so we're still we're kind of under the radar. YouTube letting us have our show, Walker?
We're still there.
Okay. Well, we're thankful to be available there on those sites. You know, Facebook really, they have it, we've had one or two run-ins with them over the years, but basically they've been pretty fair to us, haven't they?
As far as we
publicly,
know.
Publicly.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
As far as we know.
Well, because we don't know who's getting our feed.
Right.
Even our supporters. I mean, what do they call it? Shadow banning?
Yeah.
We don't know whether any of that's going on.
Well,
nobody does.
The problem is these tech companies have been proven to be far left in their politics. Mm-hmm. And now Facebook did have to let Fred Jackson also here with us with Abby Tagliano. Walker Wildman. I'm Tim Wildman. You're listening to American Family Radio. And we haven't got to one story that Fred brought in yet because we were talking about our Christian brothers.
And it's an important story we talked about.
Yes.
It really is.
Who are against President Trump at every turn, and they don't like us because we support President Trump.
His policies.
His policies. Not always the way he says things, but his policies we support for the most part. Now, you would have to ask me what policy you're talking about specifically, But in general, by far, President Trump was worlds apart from Hillary Clinton and where she was going to take us and what was going to happen there. So there wasn't a choice there. And that's why 81% of evangelical Christians, and I would put conservative Catholics in that category too, they voted for President Trump. I don't know what the Catholic vote was, but anyway, I know that 81% of evangelical Christians voted for President Trump because they were sophisticated enough to know what was going on here and what was at stake. Now, back to, I've lost my train of thought.
We were talking about this Wheaton. We're talking about the
yeah, but I want to move past that.
Okay.
Well, I guess just to stall here on live national radio doesn't help anybody, does it? Because I had something important I wanted to say, and it slipped my mind. But it was, I just want everybody to know, including y'all, it was important.
Okay.
And it was smart.
I believe you.
It was smart, and it was, but I can't articulate it because I've drawn a blank here. Fred, over to you.
Yeah, big stories still
if
today.
If I remember it, I'm going to have to interrupt you.
Okay.
Go ahead. You know how that is.
The manhunt continues for Travis Reiking. He is the suspect in that horrible shooting incident at a Waffle House in the Nashville area on early Saturday morning. And I tell you what, it's troubling in that this guy drives into this Waffle House in the Nashville area, just opens fire. He has nothing but a raincoat on. That's it. So we're going directly to some mental problems.
Sounds like
here.
He's mentally ill.
Yes, and he has the story that we have on One News Now goes back over some other incidents. He shoots two people in the parking lot. Then he goes inside and he shoots at least two people there. There are four people dead. And they are looking for him this morning. The schools in the Nashville area are on what they call lockout. And what that means is the students have gone to school this morning, but they've shut the doors and everybody has to stay inside. They've got 80 Nashville police officers. They've got the FBI. They got the Tennessee Highway Patrol looking for this guy this morning. As I say now, this is 48 hours old, this story, but he's on the loose. Now, this guy has a record of real problems when he lived in Illinois. Just last year, he was arrested by the U.S. Secret Service after he crossed into a restricted area near the White House, said he wanted to meet with President Trump. He was not armed at the time, but the FBI requested, and through the state police, they revoked his state firearms. They confiscated several weapons that he had. But his dad, this Reiking's dad, has admitted that he gave those weapons back to his son. I'm not sure if it was recent or whatever. But there's always some positive aspect to this, and the positive aspect to this. And he's a hero, even though he doesn't want to call himself a hero. And this is James Shaw Jr., 29-year-old. What a great kid he is. He had arrived at that Waffle House in Nashville just a couple of minutes before this shooter arrived. He goes in. He's sitting in one of the bar stools there in this Waffle House. Hears the noise outside, the commotion. Notice that somebody falls up against the door. So now he understands it's a shooting going on. And this guy's going to come in. This young Shaw man hides behind a counter. The shooter comes in and is headed apparently for the kitchen, and he's got this weapon. This James Shaw Jr. then basically, the guy either ran out of, he was reloading whatever. James Shaw Jr. grabs this the barrel of the AR-15, burns his hands, but takes the weapon from him. And this guy escapes. I want you to listen to James Shaw Jr. He was talking. Like I said, he's a hero, but he doesn't see himself as a hero. Cut number three.
When I was in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, I actually said that I said, I feel like I'm going to wake up. Even though I feel this pain in my hand, it still doesn't feel real. But now it's kind of like people said I saved a bunch of lives, but there's still, you know, people that died. So it still kind of hurts. And I saw those people, so. And I looked behind me, and it was a gentleman outside on the sidewalk. And then kind of jumped towards the bathroom, and the shooter or suspect entered. He shot towards the bathroom. Pretty sure he grazed my arm, at least that's what they say in the hospital. I'm sorry I couldn't get to the guy any faster, or we could have got him out in the parking lot or something like that, but I didn't know he was going to come in there armed to the teeth like that.
So just listen to this kid. What a great kid. He's everybody's calling him a hero, and he is. I think this guy would have shot up the rest of the people in that, and it was crowded. There were a lot of people in there, mostly in their 20s, young people in there, had been out late on that Friday night or Saturday night, whenever it was. But he goes to the hospital, he gets checked out, and I'm told he went to church afterwards. Yeah. He's downplaying his role in all of this. He says, I was doing it to protect my own life. But he didn't have to grab the barrel of that gun, that hot barrel of that gun. And it was because of what he did is that a lot more lives were saved.
Yeah, absolutely heroic. And it doesn't matter if he was, trying to act like a superhero or he was trying to save his own life. Mm. Saving his own life really, though, would have meant trying to sneak out.
Yeah. Mm.
But he waited there and jumped the guy.
Yeah.
And like you said, saved a number of lives, and then went to church. Whether he was planning on going or not, got up that morning. I'm sure that's the kind of thing where you go, I need to. But I don't know anything about him except that this was heroic.
Yeah,
and this is a sign of someone who actually might be mentally unstable from a doctor's standpoint.
About the perpetrator.
Yeah, yes. And it's not funny, but when I say this, you're probably gonna laugh. But he thought that Taylor Swift was stalking him.
Yeah.
And he went to the White House
He's crazy.
He wanted to jump the fence and talk to President Trump. So.
And he had guns on him when he tried to do that.
Yeah. So those are, when you say a pop star is stalking you, mm-hmm. that those are signs
yes.
that you literally are probably crazy from a diagnosis standpoint.
And the fact he had no clothes on other than a raincoat when the attack occurred.
Right. Right. You know, that could happen anywhere at any time because unfortunately we have mentally ill people roaming
right.
around, and they can get their hands on guns and do. Mm-hmm. But the story there you're focusing on is the heroism.
Yes.
Heroism of this young man. Do we have that on our
Yes.
One News Now?
Yeah, there's a video on One News Now where that testimony from that young man is there.
Grabbed the gun.
Yeah.
And burned his hand.
Burned his hand, yeah.
But anyway, you said that was it. Now, why are the schools? Because he's still on.
He's still in the list.
Even at this hour?
Yes, sir.
And they think he may have one or more guns on him.
Yeah.
But he's on foot.
He's on foot, yeah.
Unless he has hijacked a car. So it's still dangerous, and that's why they...
Mm-hmm. He's on foot.
Well, he ran from yeah. the Waffle House, and unless...
They'll catch him today sometime. You can't run on foot and get away from the police for that long. They'll catch you with a full manhunt, mm-hmm. I guess. But to just hope and pray he doesn't hurt anybody else.
Right.
Including
police officers who
exactly.
will have to confront him.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening to AFR. Hey, if you'd like to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. As Walker said earlier, if you want to watch the show today on the internet, go to Facebook and type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show there. Or on YouTube, either one. YouTube, Facebook pages both have us available, our program, Today's Issues. And thank you for listening, and thank you for all those who called in last week and participated in our Share-a-thon. We praise God for you. It gave us enough support to keep going forward and to keep maybe building new radio stations across the country mm-hmm. and impacting. We want to educate and inform and equip the Christian community about things that are happening in our world so that we can make a difference. We can be salt and light, as the Bible tells us we should be in Matthew chapter 5. All right. What's next, Fred?
Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Pretty high-profile story. Over the last 10 days, they were grilling. That's the only way to put it, at least the Democrats were. Mike Pompeo, who is President Trump's nominee to be the next Secretary of State. He is still the CIA director. That's his current job, but he's been nominated for this. Now, if you would like, and I believe we have this, do you remember the grilling that Mike Pompeo took from Senator Cory Booker, the Democrat? Not about whether Pompeo has what it takes to be the Secretary of State, the foreign relations knowledge, all of that sort of thing. But remember, Senator Booker went at Mike Pompeo for his Christian beliefs when it comes to marriage. And so I want to just play a little bit of that again.
So it's, you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same.
Do you believe
dignity.
That gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator, if I can, yes or no, sir.
Moment, do you believe that gay sex is a perversion?
So there you have it. That was just a little bit.
Is he from New Jersey?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Democrat from New Jersey.
Cory Booker.
Wants to be the next president of the United States.
So he's challenging
Mike Pompeo.
Mike Pompeo on his views about homosexuality.
Yes.
I guess to say that if you do hold a Christian view of that, a biblical view, mm-hmm. I guess Christian's too broad a word today because Mike, I don't know, Booker may say he's a Christian, he's all for gay sex. For gay sexuality, mm-hmm. but the teaching of the church for 2,000 years has been that that's a sin,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Churches that have not fallen into heresy,
right?
That they still hold to the
that
traditional
homosexual behavior is a sin, mm-hmm. and so what Booker, Senator Booker, is trying to say, no, what he is saying, basically to Mike Pompeo. Is that if you believe that, you're disqualified.
Yeah, he explicitly said, your views, talking about Mike Pompeo, do not represent American beliefs and values.
Yeah.
So all of those who don't agree with Cory Booker, who do not believe
right.
in same-sex marriage, that those are no longer American values?
Wait a minute, hold on. So that would have excluded President Obama from running for president. Just, not too long ago.
2008, mm-hmm. 10 years ago.
Or 12.
And Hillary
12.
Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Didn't he hold that same view? No, President Trump. President Obama.
Yes, you're right. 2012, he was, in a sense, outed in terms of his views.
Yes.
By Joe mm-hmm. Biden, wasn't it?
And Hillary Clinton held the same view, too. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were homophobes. And bigots of the highest order until when?
According to Cory Booker.
Yes, until about 5-6 years ago.
Right.
And then they were...
But now, Tim, you do have to understand what Cory Booker would say is they realized the error of their ways.
Yes.
And they adapted to the new values
they have
of
evolved.
America. They've evolved.
They've
which
evolved.
Is how President Obama described
his views
changing
have
views.
Evolved.
Yeah. They have evolved.
Well, if so... Was that the end of the exchange? Did they end it there?
Well, it went on,
it went on for a little while.
For quite some time. But today, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee may not pass. They're going to vote on Mike Pompeo's nomination. And unfortunately, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky may vote with the Democrats. Now, Senator Rand Paul is concerned that Mike Pompeo is too much of a hawk. So
that has nothing to do with the homosexual issue.
No. Okay. But anyway, this is pretty well unprecedented. At least it hasn't happened for years because Republican or Democrat presidents who have nominated certain individuals, whether it's John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, Condoleezza Rice, they have all passed, you know, bipartisan support, but not this time. This is a pattern now of the Democrats are going to obstruct. And that's what President Trump was tweeting about this morning.
You picked up on that?
Yeah. No kidding.
The vote is tonight,
The vote is tonight. Now, they are saying, even though it may not pass in the committee, the whole Senate can vote on this. And we'll talk about that in a second. But Sarah Sanders, White House spokesman Sarah Sanders, was asked about this morning, about this obstructionism against Mike Pompeo. And this is what she had to say. Cut one.
We certainly hope that some members will change their minds. Look, at some point, Democrats have to decide whether they love this country more than they hate this president. And they have to decide that they want to put the safety and the security and the diplomacy of our country ahead of their own political games. And we're very hopeful that they will. If you just look at history, the past Secretary of States have been confirmed unanimously,
right.
And Republicans have come on board and supported Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, people we know who they didn't necessarily agree with on the political spectrum, but they knew how important this position was, and they didn't play games with it, and Democrats mm-hmm. need to do the same thing with Mike Pompeo and confirm him.
I tell you what, she impresses me more and more.
She right. sure does. Huh? Like her daddy.
She's yeah, like well, she's been taught well, but she mm-hmm. is. She when she first came out, Sarah, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. This is the daughter of Mike Huckabee. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sarah
Huckabee Sanders.
Sanders. Mm-hmm. No relation to the Colonel, I don't think.
Colonel Sanders.
But anyway, when she first came out, you know, I thought, wow, is she up to this challenge? Because mm-hmm. she's relatively young. I would guess she's in her 30s, wouldn't mm-hmm. you say?
Yes.
And, you know, and let's be honest, she's got a distinctively Southern accent, which for the New York and California elite, that doesn't help.
Makes their heads explode. Actually, I'd like
well,
to see that.
I was going to say it doesn't help, but Ed just said it makes their heads explode. Anyway, she's done I would grade her an A+ for the president.
Absolutely.
In her job. And
she's tough, too.
She's tough.
Is
yeah.
she
combative?
I watch every day on, you know, the White House press briefing. Boy, she handles herself well.
Yeah.
She is one tough cookie. You have to be.
So anyway, the point is, Walker, give us the politics of this. Will Mike Pompeo, who, by the way, is from Kansas, and a lot of people who listen to us in Kansas know him and know his family. He was a congressman mm-hmm. from Kansas before he went to the CIA for President Trump, and now President Trump must love this guy mm-hmm. because now he's asking him to take the most important, arguably the most important position in the administration after President and Vice President, and that's the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mike Pompeo, you think he'll get confirmed, Walker?
Yes, I do, and I'm very proud of him that he did not denounce his views of human sexuality, which are biblical views.
That's right.
So he stood by those. If you listen to the full clip, he said, I stand by right. those views, Senator.
I respect everybody. I treat everybody with respect, is
yes,
what he said.
But I stand by my views, my biblical views of human sexuality right. is basically what he said. But so the committee today, I'm not sure which committee it is. But
Senate Foreign Relations. Foreign Relations.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So that committee is slated to vote no on his nomination,
yeah.
which means that traditionally – that he would not go to the Senate floor for a full vote unless he approves a vote of the committee. But in extraordinary circumstances, the Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, can bring up a nominee for a vote even if they haven't passed the committee. So that's what McConnell is slated to do today or sometime this week, and that is bring up Pompeo for a vote on the Senate floor. And according to reports, there are enough Democrats that are going to vote for him that he will pass the Senate.
So in terms of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, if Rand Paul, again, the Republican senator from Kentucky, holds to his opposition, then Mike Pompeo will not be supported by this committee. But if Rand Paul flips and says, I'm satisfied that he'll be blah, 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 then he would, because it's just basically going to be
yeah,
one vote, right?
That's right. There's 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. If Rand Paul joins the Democrats for different reasons to oppose Pompeo, then he won't pass the committee, but that doesn't mean he can't pass the full Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And according to the reports that I'm reading, he will pass the full
Senate.
Well,
who are the Democrats who would vote for him? Do you know?
I believe Murkowski.
From Maryland? The woman from Maryland, Senator?
Basically, it's the Democrats who were up for re-election in Republican states. Those are the few who are going to vote.
If it's Maryland, Maryland's not a Republican state.
Is Murkowski from Alaska?
Yes.
She's from Alaska.
I thought she was a Republican.
She is a Republican, isn't she?
Yeah. There's a handful of Democrats. There's about 8 Democrats. like Manchin, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, who are up for re-election in states where President Trump won by a large margin.
And they're going to vote for him.
A few of those, because they're
just enough.
Yeah, are going to vote for Pompeo.
Just enough. Okay, yeah. I got you. That's interesting. Well, we'll see. But we'll see whether Mitch McConnell will have to use the power of his office to make this happen. And we will, you know, everything with the Democrats today, and I'm sure the Democrats would say this is true of the Republicans when President Obama was in office, but I beg to differ. I think that the way the Democrats operate today, the Republicans have not done to the degree that the Democrats are doing today, and I'm talking about just outright obstruction. What was the word they used when President Trump got elected? What was their favorite word? Resist.
Yeah.
So the Democrats are resisting President Trump on everything he does. And even if they probably don't disagree with him on everything that does, they're going to resist him on everything he does. Because why? Because they're weakening him. They want to weaken him and divide the Republican Party so that they can't get anything accomplished. They lose steam, they lose morale, they lose elections. And the secular progressives get back in power, and then they come after us. Okay, that's the goal. That's the war plan for the secular left in this country. And so if they can bring down, you know, so by opposing President Trump's Secretary of State nominee, if they can keep him from going in, then they've dealt a severe blow to the president.
Right. Yeah.
And what he wants to do. You know who I'd like to hear more from in all this? And I know President Trump is the personality type that garners the attention. Is Mike Pence, the Vice President.
Yeah, he is quiet.
I just don't hear much from him. Yeah. And I know people who know him and admire him, and he's a Christian brother, and he's pro-life, and he's right on all the issues. And maybe that's not the role of the Vice President, you know. I would just like to hear more. I'd like to see his profile.
Right. I just want to hear somebody say that, because, you know, and we may talk about this next segment with Steve Jordahl, but this thing with North Korea, where it looks like it's possible for North Korea to back away from its nuclear designs to get a nuclear weapon. I want to hear the Democrats say, yeah, because Mike Pompeo has met with Kim Jong-un. I want to hear the Democrats say that the guy who has met behind the scenes with Kim Jong-un and may avert a nuclear showdown on the Korean Peninsula is not qualified to be Secretary of State because he believes in traditional marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that the absurdity of the Democrats' position would only be heightened if they refused to confirm a guy who is doing that behind the scenes.
No, this is how scary, and I mean this seriously, we laugh about it sometimes. This is how scary these people are on the left. If they have half a chance, they are going to shut down the Christian church in America.
Right.
Who believe,
I believe that.
No, that's what...
I believe that.
They're going after Jack Phillips and Christian business people right now. You know, and that case is going to be decided and announced in the spring. I'm talking about the forest in Colorado. But their goal is to shut down American Family Radio, deny them licenses because they're a hate group.
I believe that.
No, that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And then they'll come after churches because you won't let your sanctuary be used in a homosexual wedding.
Yep.
Therefore, you're a hate group. Shut you down.
10 years ago, I would have said that was scaremongering. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that's exactly what they would do, given a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who these people are today. And anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.